Since Sally and I have been out of town for 2 weeks, we've learned an astounding thing. That some important life messages are learned outside of Huntersville. So last week I learned this very important life lesson, which comes from history. When Franklin Delano Roosevelt was president, at a certain point he became very irritated and frustrated with the people who came to the White House and were going through the receiving lines, and he would always have something to say to them, and he usually had a calculated reason for saying something to some ambassador or a person from a certain country or governmental agency. But nobody seemed to be listening, seemed to be very perfunctory. So he was so irritated about this that one evening when they had this big, long reception line, he said to each person, "I murdered my grandmother today." And the people responded, "Marvelous, keep up the good work, we're proud of you, God bless you, sir." Until the British ambassador came through the line and he actually listened to what Roosevelt had to say. He leaned forward, he took his hand and said, "Well, sir, I'm sure she had it coming." You see, we are like, very often, those people in that reception line. We sometimes hear Jesus, but we don't listen. And sometimes when we listen to Jesus, actually understand what he's saying, we respond in some superficial, short-time way. And what happens when we do that is we miss out on powerful promises of Jesus, wonderful blessings that he wants to give to us. So that is why this fall, Jesus is taking us through a series of invitations that lead to blessings. If we will just say with an RSVP to that invitation, "Yes, Jesus, this is what I want with my life." And we respond not with just our words, not with this one time in and out kind of response, but instead to give our lives to say yes to Jesus, his invitation. Today, Jesus gives us an invitation that is often misunderstood. The problem is we read just a little tiny piece of it. We give it our short time attention until it suits us, and then we move on. I know this because that's been me. I said, "Yeah, Jesus, I like this first part of this invitation. I'm just going to take that." And the problem is I show up at the wrong address. And I don't get what it is that Jesus wants to give me if I would say yes and actually listen and respond to the invitation he gives. So today, Jesus is going to reissue this familiar invitation to all of us this morning in hopes that we will read the whole invitation and then give our lives with a yes to what he invites us to do. Jesus reissues this familiar invitation to us in the 11th chapter of the Gospel of Matthew. Jesus had been preaching and teaching the good news all over Galilee, his hometown region, about 65 miles north of Jerusalem. And he's been performing miracles in people's lives. He's been healing minds and bodies and spirits. And the people are fired up about that, but they just take what Jesus gives them and they move on. It's a one-time thing for them. And they refuse to follow Jesus. In fact, they begin to criticize Jesus for his radical message of love and compassion and sacrifice and peacemaking and putting God first in all of your life. So Jesus warns them to rethink their decision. He warns them about what they're going to miss out on if they do not commit their lives to them. And he urges them and us to move from no and not yet and not now to yes. Then Jesus does an interesting thing. He changes his tone of voice. He moves from tough to tender. And he offers his invitation again, in a way that I hope and pray today can open our lives to what's possible for us. Can open our eyes and our lives to what can happen to us and the people in our lives if we just say yes. And this morning I'm going to be reading in part from the Message version, which I think gets it more right, and the NIV version, which is familiar. Here's how it goes. Jesus resumed talking to the people, but now tenderly. "The Father has given me all these things to do and to say. This is a unique Father-Son operation. coming out of Father and Son, intimacy and knowledge. No one knows the Son the way the Father does, nor the Father the way the Son does. But I'm not keeping it to myself. I'm ready to go over it line by line by anyone who's willing to listen, or as the NIV says, those to whom the Son reveals Him. Now the words you know. Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. We usually like to stop right about there. But Jesus goes on. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me. For I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find peace for your souls. For my yoke is easy, my burden is light, or as the message puts it, are you tired? Are you worn out? Are you burned out? Come to me and get away with me, and you'll recover your life. You recover your life. Now I'll show you how to take a real rest. Walk with me and work with me and watch how I do it. Learn the unforced rhythms of grace. I won't lay anything heavy or ill-fitting on you. Keep company with me, and you'll learn to live freely and lightly. Jesus changes his tone from tough to tender because his heart yearns for us to know the plans that God has for us. The plans that will enable us to recover our life to be all that God created it to be. The plans that God has for us that will discover to walk in the rhythms of His grace and to live freely and lightly. If that's not your life now, then I want to ask you this morning, would you like for your life to be like that? Walking in the rhythms of grace, free and lightly, finding peace for your soul. Does that sound like a good life to you? Well, Jesus invites us to begin living that good life this morning, and all we have to do is say yes to His invitation. And Jesus reveals for us how to get from no and not now and not yet to yes. With three good life invitational openers. The first Jesus good life invitational opener is this. Take on a yoke of Jesus and let His way become your way in all your ways. When I ask you how you're doing, y'all usually say, fine, good. One I hate the most is, all good. Yeah, whatever. But when I ask you a more personal question, which is, how is your life? I usually get a very different answer, probably because I'm the pastor. What I hear is busy, tired, stressed, worried. I learned that you are too busy, too stressed, too unfocused, maybe too many focuses for a good life offered by Jesus, full of the life, the abundant life of love and joy and peace and patience and compassion and kindness and passion for life. A recent survey showed these disturbing results that 80% of adults in America today say they are suffering from too much stress in their lives, and 30% of adults suffer from depression or debilitating anxiety. More than half of all diseases are linked in some way to stress. Heart disease, strokes, high blood pressure, and some cancers. We spend $67 billion a year in dealing with stress-related illnesses. And the most used treatment is some form of medication. The fundamental problem is we spend too much time like that rabbit that recently moved to Huntersville. I'm sorry, a greyhound that moved to Huntersville. And a pastor was chatting with this greyhound. You know, it's like St. Francis, we can talk to the animals. Did y'all know that? So he's chatting with this greyhound and he says, well, what are you doing? He said, well, I just moved here from Miami. He said, well, welcome to Huntersville. I guess you've retired. He said, I don't retire. He said, I spent 10 years as a professional racing greyhound. I was chasing 7 days a week for 10 years that rabbit. And one day I got up close and I got a good look and I found out he was a fake. I spent 10 years of my life chasing a fake rabbit. Well, Jesus invites and urges us to quit chasing the fake rabbits, the fake gods of our culture. He urges us instead to recover the life that God created for us to live. A life full of grace. Grace. To live freely and lightly. And find the peace that the world cannot take away. Stop chasing those fake gods, Jesus says. And refocus your life in just one way. Jesus puts His life refocusing, life blessing, recovering life message this way. Take My yoke upon you and learn from Me, and you will find rest for your souls. The message says better, I think. Walk with Me. Work with Me. Recover your life. Begin living the rhythms of grace. Living freely and lightly. You see, Jesus actually wants our lives to look like this. Like that. You see, what happens to us is that Jesus just doesn't want to relieve our stress. He doesn't want us to find rest. Because that's a one in and one out, and we ditch Jesus and go on our way. I'm feeling better, Jesus. See you later. What He wants is to take over our lives. Take them over. To be yoked with Him. And when we're yoked with Jesus, my friends, we are not resting. But we are at peace. Because Jesus is helping to carry our burdens. And He's guiding our lives to be in sync with God. Instead of fighting against God, we're walking with God in our lives. So the life that God wants for us starts coming true for us. That's why Jesus says, if you'll just take your yoke upon Me, my yoke upon you, you will find peace for your souls. In the Gospel of John, He says, if you will obey My commandments, then you will have the peace the world cannot take away. And you will receive the abundant life, He says, if you'll just take on My yoke. Which is a way that Jesus then puts this question to you. Do you want to keep on carrying your own burdens? Do you want to just keep on figuring out life for yourself? Do you want to just keep on living your way? Or are you going to let Jesus walk with you? Share your burdens. Lift your limitations. And restore your life to the rhythms of grace. To be yoked so closely to Him that His life and your life become the same. Well, I hope you'll say yes. You're going to have a chance to do that later today. But the challenge is that you and I are not familiar with yokes. And I can't resist this, folks, except in eggs. Stick with me now. So the people in Palestine in the first century CE, they were very familiar with yokes and how that worked and how they fit and how you work together. But I'm going to offer you a picture that can help you see what it's like to be yoked with Jesus, to have your life centered on Him, because if we'll do this is what our life will look like. Like that. Filled with the fruits of the Holy Spirit of all the love and joy and peace and so much more. So I'm going to offer you this morning the wheel of life. There it is. The wheel of life is similar to what some of our elders did a few years ago to connect our ministries with Jesus. Well, the wheel of life puts Jesus at the center of our lives. And flowing out from Jesus at the center of our lives are all these things in our lives that we connect with. Our marriage, our family, our finances, our relationships, our school, our vocations, our play, our social, our wellness, our community, our service, our faith. All these things connect with your life every day. And Jesus said, let Me be the connector. Then around the rim that guides and sets boundaries for how we to live in all of these relationships. Our love and joy and peace and patience and kindness and generosity and faithfulness and gentleness. And compassion and forgiveness and purpose and passion for life. And the way this wheel works is that when we connect, center our lives on Jesus, then He connects us to all these ways. He guides our lives. He guards our lives from the things around Him. This is a way of showing how we can be yoked with Jesus so that, in the words of Paul in Colossians, whatever we think and say and do, we do in the name of Jesus, putting His stamp of approval on it. You see, Jesus urges us to put Him at the center of our lives because here's the default option. Me. Does that look familiar to anybody? I'm the center of my life. And around the rim are the ways we guide our lives, which is a whole bunch of question marks. Which is filled in quite often with the culture, with the crowd, with the peers, with the media, with this entertainment industry. That becomes the guide of our lives. And all those people in the middle, all those folks, they suffer the consequences. The question for you and for me this morning is whether we want our lives to be like this or like that. So I want to ask you to think about these questions. If your answer is yes to this, is your marriage centered on Jesus? Or do you reach out to each other with patience and gentleness and compassion, forgiveness? Is there passion in your marriage? In your school, are young people here? Are your lives centered on Jesus? Are you a peacemaker in your school? Are you purpose-driven for Jesus in your school? Do people look at you and say, "Ah, I see Jesus in her life. I see Jesus in his life." As parents, I'm looking right now at the front row, of course. Are you raising your children to look like that? For their life to be like that? To be faithful? For their lives to focus and center on Jesus? Not on you, but on Jesus. And as young people here this morning, we got a few, Walter Glenn and Ryan, looking down over there. And a few, Alexis, there you go. Haley, I won't call out everybody here this morning. Sammy, I said I wouldn't call out everybody. So a question for you is your life and your family like Jesus? Are you kind to your parents? Are you a joy giver to your parents? Are you compassionate with your parents? Because you know what? Your parents struggle. And the question is, are you compassionate to them in the midst of their struggles? Someone look at you and say, "Indeed, this child is bringing Jesus to their parents." Well, I hope and I pray that the answer to every one of those questions is yes. And if it's not yes, today is the day to say yes. And you notice the arrows flow both ways. What that means is that Jesus has been connecting us to these guides and guards for our lives. That as we live those, we grow closer to Him. And all these people in the middle, and all these parts of our lives, as this love and joy and peace is flowing back and forth between us and Jesus, it begins to flow out of their lives as well, and their lives begin to look like this as well. Well, if you're ready to say yes to being yoked with Jesus, to have Him as the center and hub connecting your whole life together to guide your life, then you're ready for Jesus' second good life invitation opener, which is this: to come away with Jesus and experience your life in all the fullness that God created it to be. The message declares so powerfully this amazing thing that Jesus wants to do for us if we yoke our lives to Him. He says, "Come to me." Did you notice? "Get away with me," He says, "and you'll recover your life." Get away with me and you'll recover your life. Well, the challenge for us in living like this was illustrated to me by Tyler Cox. So Tyler's not here right now. He's one of my favorite people. I love Tyler. But Tyler illustrated what our challenge is. A few weeks ago, Tyler was in charge of the Elevate Market. Now, I don't know if y'all remember, but the cookies and the brownies were stunning. So Christine asked Tyler, said, "Did you bake those cookies and those brownies? They're all homemade." He said, "No, my dad did that." So Christine, being a good youth director, said, "Well, did you help your dad with that?" And Tyler says, "Well, Honestly, no. See, Christine, I had some friends over, and I was distracted. Honestly. So, by the way, Christine and I had a great time saying, "Well, Dad, I wrecked the car, but it wasn't my fault. You see, I had the radio on, and I was distracted." Right? Boy, the list can go on and on. Good luck to you, Doug. So what Jesus does is He invites us to come to Him, be yoked and connected with Him, so that rim around us are our boundaries, not only guiding us but guarding us against the stuff that comes to come in our lives and distract us from the good news and the grace and the love and the life of Jesus. He wants to take away those burdens from us that get in the way, the anger and the envy and the comparison with others and the worry and the fear and resistance to change. The resistance to being challenged to live like Jesus. Unhealthy habits, unhealthy ways of thinking, unhealthy ways of speaking, unhealthy ways of acting and living. Unhealthy friends, addictions, bad decisions, disappointments, the past, discouragement, the voices within and without who says, "Your past is your present, it's your future. You got nowhere to go but down." Jesus wants to push those burdens and those barriers, those limitations out of our lives and turn our lives over to Him. You see, Jesus wants to put a yoke on us, to have us walk in His way of life. And it's a yoke that's going to fit us just right, because it turns out that you're going to have some yoke on you that's going to guide and your life. The question is, whose yoke is it going to be? I want to ask you this question. This is logic this morning. I wish John Colbert were here. He loved logic. So what better person is there than Jesus to tell you what God's plan is for your life? But what better person is there than Jesus to know how to lift your burdens and push away those limitations on your life? Who knows better than Jesus about what special gift is living in you? What special new chapter in your life is just waiting to be opened for you if you just let Jesus take over your life? This is what Jesus was getting at when He called us to embrace the fact that no one knows God except the Son and those to whom He reveals God to all who will listen. If we'll just listen to Jesus, He's going to turn your life into something beautiful that you can't even imagine. And He's going to get rid of all that stuff that gets in the way. Now, I could share my personal story this morning about how God did that, Jesus did that for me when I finally discovered the yoke part of this message today, and how He continues to do it for me over and over again. But I'm not going to do that. Instead, what I'm going to do, and there's some risk in doing something like this, I'm going to share with you a poem. It's a poem that is very familiar to most of you, I suspect, but it's a poem that always moves me every time I hear it, to want to put my life into the yoke of Jesus and just see what He does. This poem is called "The Old Violin, The Touch of the Master's Hand." It was battered and scarred, and the auctioneer thought it hardly worth his while to waste his time on this old violin, but he held it up with a smile. "What am I bid, good people?" he cried. "Who starts the bidding for me? $1? $1? Do I hear two? $2? Who makes it three? $3 once? $3 twice? Go in for three, but no." From the back of the room, a gray-bearded man came forward and picked up the bow. Then, wiping the dust from the old violin and tightening up the strings, he played a melody pure and sweet, sweet as the angels sing. The music ceased, and the auctioneer, with a voice that was quiet and low, said, "What am I now bid for this old violin?" And he held it aloft with his bow. "1,000, 1,000, do I hear two? 2,000, maybe makes it three? 3,000 once, 3,000 twice, going and gone," said he. And the audience cheered and some of them cried. We just don't understand. What change is worse? Swift came to reply, the touch of the Master's hand. And many a man with life out of tune, all battered and bruised with hardship, is auctioned cheap to the thoughtless crowd, much like that old violin. A mess of pottage, a glass of wine, a game he travels on. He's going once, he's going twice. He's going and almost gone. But the Master comes. And the foolish crowd never can quite understand the worth of a soul, the change that is wrought by the touch of the Master's hand. Is there any way in your life, in your relationships, that's battered, bruised, burdened, limited, out of tune with the beautiful music that Jesus wants to make in your life? The beautiful music of love and joy and peace and patience and kindness and generosity. Is there any way in your life today that does not fill with God's purpose and God's passion for life? Is there any one way that you want your life to be changed, refreshed, renewed, restored to the grace-filled light and freely lived life that Jesus wants to offer to us? Then put your life in the Master's hand. Yoke and center your life with Him and get ready, my friends, for a new and beautiful life, because the story behind this poem tells the truth of that promise. Myra Brooks Welsh was stricken with severe arthritis, so crippled that everything had to be done for her in a wheelchair. She was bittered and burdened and broken. One day, in her deep despair, she cried out for Jesus to lift her burdens, to take hold of every minute of her life, and to make her beautiful. She prayed that prayer day after day. And gradually, day by day, Jesus began to guard her life from the limitations, to guide her life into a new way of life. She began to offer peace to the bitter and the broken and the burdened and out of tune lives around her with the grace of Jesus. Her life became beautiful music, and Myra became beautiful herself. You see, Jesus opened her life to a passion and a purpose for poetry. He moved her to write these grace-filled words. And the way she did it, she took a pencil in her two crippled hands, and letter by painful letter, she wrote this poem of joy and beauty. A friend asked Myra how she could experience and share such joy and beauty in the midst of her circumstances, and she replied, "Jesus is not limited by our circumstances. He is only limited by our holding back from giving all of our life to Him. He loves us so much. He has unlimited grace that He wants to pour into our lives if we'll just let Him. He will always open a wonderful, beautiful, new door for you." You see, Myra says, the question is not whether the grace of Jesus will save you. The question is whether we will let the grace of Jesus change you. Only Jesus knows who He can be. Only Jesus can set us free to be filled with His beautiful music. Do you want Jesus to lift your burdens, to set you free, to live to the fullest life that God has promised you and wants for you to live in the rhythm of grace, to be filled and overflow with the beautiful music that Jesus wants to pour with His grace into your life? Well, that life is available for you right now. That life that you can renew and recommit is available to you right now as Jesus offers His third good life invitation opener, which is to come to His table. And tell Jesus that you want to take His yoke on you for Him to become the center, the guide, and the guard of your life. For it is at His table that we remember and are reminded about His grace freely given. That He died on the cross to take away our sins and our burdens and our limitations, not so we could leave here today and go and live as we decide, but to go and leave here today to live as He decides. So today we come to this table. We ask ourselves that question. What is the grace that we receive today at this table at Jesus? Not whether it will save us, it clearly will. But whether the grace of Jesus will change you. So my friends, come to this table.